there? Online?
Yes, I am. Morning.
Good morning. It's warm and stuffy in our room, so we're going to talk fast. Okay. We call this order the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission to order on Monday, August 13th at 11:45 a.m. Starting out, the question is asked, is there any changes at this time to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on and approve the consent agenda, which includes our meeting minutes from July 23rd, and our bills are listed, and then the resolution to pay that. So I would love for someone to make a resolution to accept the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion to accept the resolution for the consent agenda has been made and second, and I open it to discussion on anything such as bills that are listed there. Question that I did that I had asked was on page 8 about the construction, ONS construction, and that has to do with the service being put into the Legacy Commons on First Street. That at this point we do pay those when we put that service in. Any questions from anyone? Hearing none, I'll ask a roll call.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much, Beth. And then we'll go on to the Labor Union report. And the Chair, Mr. Commissioner Weber, will give that report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Labor Committee met on Monday, August 7th at 12 p.m. We discussed some information regarding a former employee who's put in a request for additional paid days off compensation. There's a significant difference to what he is requesting and what we believe the balance is. Staff provided the data from both sides and so there's further discussion on that. This was brought up because there was a mediation session that was to be held on Friday, August 10th, which subsequently did happen. After discussion of the data and the discrepancies, the Labor Committee provided some insight and direction to staff for the related upcoming session on August 10th. Miscellaneous things that we talked about, General Manager Heron informed the committee about some upcoming office staffing needs and was working with our labor attorney to determine some direction to proceed for filling or not filling those open positions within staff. That was all we talked about. Meeting adjourned at 12:53 p.m. So I submit for approval. As a motion, these Labor Committee minutes.
Thank you. Is there a second to that? Motion to accept?
I'll second.
Okay, motion made to accept the Labor Committee report and second. Any further questions?
Madam Chair, comment.
Yes.
Mediation was held on Friday, as Commissioner Weber alluded to. Basically, there is no progress made in mediation, so therefore we'll be moving forward on September 13th with a summary judgment. So, and unless there's questions regarding the email that was pushed out on Friday, but that is a summary of where we're at.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Do you have a second, Ben?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Commissioner Magnuson.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. And then will go on to the Priam Substation Project Report, and then let our engineer, Mr. Smith, address a report on that.
Madam Chair, the last public bid item for the substation project was for furnishing control panels. That was opened on August 7th, 2018. We only received one bid. It was from Electrical Power Products, Inc. out of Iowa. We actually have some of their equipment in other substations that we own already. DGR reviewed their bid. It was in the amount of $359,423. One thing that they did note in the recommendation of award here is that the project budget for this was $170,000. Again, this is quite a bit higher than that, and that is because the original budget was developed when we were using DGR's standard design package. It's been our intent all along to use the GRE specs for this project because they will handle a lot of maintenance. They store quite a few materials in their inventories that we're able to benefit from. So doing that in combination with the original design was for one 115 kV line. Just through planning, working coordinated with GRE, we're preparing for two 115 kV lines. So the scope of the project has changed since this original estimate was put together, and that's why this bid item came up significantly higher. But I'll just read a little bit down on this third paragraph. The bid price furnished by EP Squared was expected for the scope of this contract and the contingency in the project budget, so that's the overall Priam Substation project budget, is adequate to cover this price and should still leave more than enough contingency to cover any additional remaining project costs. So thus, we recommend that we award this contract to EP Squared for $359,423. I've reviewed the bid as well. Like I said, we've got their equipment. They do good work, and so I would concur with their recommendation and would answer any questions you may have.
Any questions at this time? If not, I would make that recommendation, the resolution to accept this bid recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion to accept the recommendation for the award of the contract. Any further comments? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Thank you.
And that carries. Thank you, Beth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to kind of update where we're at with our puzzle.
Yeah, so we've got another kind of memo or letter-looking attachment there, if you want to pull that up. Basically, it's kind of summarizes where we are in the project so far and highlights some costs. We're still on schedule for that in-service date of May 2019. The project is $4.98 million. Let's see here. The original January substation project, again, that was for two 69 kV lines, one 115 kV line. As we've gone through planning, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but it looks like there's a very strong chance for that second 115 kV line to be energized within the next 5 years, and so we're making preparations for it right now so we don't have to come back with construction crews and get more materials and stuff and do it a second time. We're just wrapping all that into one project. So that middle column, the March 2017, is numbers that accommodate that second 115 kV line. In the August 2018 column, now we're starting to see the results of the bid items, so we're getting actual project costs in there. And we've got a much better understanding of what the future costs will be. So I've highlighted in blue the $3.9 million number there. That's kind of a hybrid of actual construction projects or actual construction contracts that we have signed and in progress, as well as some anticipated expenditures coming up. So some of those anticipated items are a $50,000 earmarking for commissioning and testing once the substation is up and online. And then let's see, some of the other things. Actual cost for geotechnical testing and reporting. The site work contract is pretty much wrapped up. We had to do a change order on that to add some matting underneath the driveway. That was the recommendation of the site work contractor. And there was also some materials that were unearthed during the project that had to get disposed of. So you're seeing a more fine-tuned number in that item. Like we said, in that award recommendation, DGR has allotted a contingency for things like this. We're still within that contingency. We're reducing that because we're using those dollars where they needed to be spent. And they don't anticipate any issue with the existing project budget of $4.9 million. Moving on a little bit lower, Conductor Power is going to be completing the below-grade work in October of 2018. They should be starting here shortly. And then just an FYI, the Great River Energy is going to use some of that pasture land we have out at the Priam substation to stage some of their transmission line materials. So there'll be some poles and insulators and different items like that out there. So you might see some truck traffic related to that. If you are interested, the page 2 of this document, and I don't know if you guys refreshed, this was an addition this morning. So make sure you do that. You should see a page 2. If you don't, you need to refresh. But there it just again outlines some of the more more detail on the different areas of the project. In that box in green, there's of the first table, there's $3.9 million, and that's the total project cost of DGR's estimate. In that second table, again, you see that same number inside the green box. Right next to it, inside the orange box, is the actual contract price through the public bidding process. And this is where you'll notice it's a little higher than the DGR engineering estimate, difference of $175,000. And again, that got covered through the contingency that was allotted for. So I said a lot there. There's a lot of numbers there. I would be more than happy to answer any questions you have right now, or even if you want to contact me afterwards. I'm always open to that too.
Any questions from any of you? Commissioners at this time. So how many more contracts for different things? You have the total number there, but how many that will be coming forward?
So I don't anticipate any more public contracts. Another big item is going to be the Kandy Ohio Power Cooperative station power. So because it's outside of our service territory, we're actually going to have an account with the co-op, and that's going to be about $7,000, maybe a little bit more than that. And then the other items, we're expecting $77,000 in taxes. The material contracts that we sign don't include taxes. They're accounted for, but it's not in that total number that you see in the tables on the update. So that will adjust those final contracts a little bit. Other than that, it would just come through change orders. Again, we try to limit those. We try to reduce them as much as possible. But there's that contingency that's still left there. So we don't have any more contracts that we expect.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Again, thank you for the report and appreciate that, and look forward on the 27th. I believe that the substation is one of our points of interest that we'll be checking at, and that'll be fun to, well, it'll be interesting, excuse me, to see that out there, where we're going with that. Thank you again. And then we'll go on to the Missouri River Energy Services, and we received a plaque at the meeting that we were at, so everybody can see it officially, and will be displayed in a prominent place. And that picture I hope you delete that off your iPad. Good grief, I thought I was shaping up that day, but after this, if I have to have a picture taken, I'm asking for a professional photographer to come and take pictures. But it's pretty exciting. They're excited to have our organization, and I'm looking forward to working with them as well, what they can offer us with that. And to that end, the next thing on the agenda is the Leadership Academy that's coming up September 19th to the 20th. And again, as a new member, I think that's a good thing for any of you that could attend that, to get kind of a little bit more in-depth understanding of what they can offer to us as well. And again, they appreciate us joining. They're doing lots to, you know, to respect that we have chosen them to join. John, would you like to just make a little comment along that line?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Lamar. To echo what Commissioner Lamar had indicated, that it'd be a good overview of the organization, the services they provide for, you know, us as WOMA here being new to Missouri River as a joint action agency, to, you know, get an understanding of those services and how they relate to our business here. And with that said, I know we have Commissioner DeBoot that has signed up so far. I had offered, when we pushed the email out, to go with to provide additional background to how the services directly affect us if any of the commissioners would like me to attend with them. So again, strongly encourage anyone that can make it to go. We leave early Wednesday morning, or you'd have to leave early Wednesday morning if you were to go. It starts at 11. It's about a 3.5-hour drive. You can be there. And it's done at noon on Thursday, so you'd be back again by, 4 o'clock or so.
Again, unfortunately, I'm not able to attend, so if there's anybody else that could adjust their schedule, that would be appreciated. And if not, that's understood as well. Thank you, John. And then we'll go on to our video. We get to have movies today, so.
Just real briefly, Missouri River put together this public power presentation for us. It kind of goes hand in hand. John speaks in there along with the economic development committees. So kind of goes hand in hand. It was put together by some interns from Missouri River. And I believe it was done like in April, and then we just got the final copy. So, or not the final copy, we have one slide that needs tweaking on, but other than that, this, for the most part, is what people will see on the website.
Competitive in this area here and across the state. Beckman. I'm the Executive Director for the Andy Ojai County and City of Wilmer Economic Development Commission, or EDC. Why is working with public utilities important? I happen to believe that public utilities have a very important role to play in terms of economic development. They keep the rates competitive, which is important if you want to have a healthy business climate. They also give back to the community in terms of investing in the community, in terms of making sure you have the right infrastructure. Also, they are looking at, should they diversify their energy sources? That's on a continual basis.
Another advantage to public power is the reliability factor. In 2016, we received a national reliability award. Our power system on our residential side, we consider 100% underground, which adds to our reliability factor.
My name is Todd Graves. I've been with Wilmer Utilities for 24 years. I've been a line supervisor for about 2.5 years now. When people were out of power, they would just realize if their lights were out, they would blink and it would be, they would be irritating. But with today's technology and the computers and everything that people are relying on for business and information, just a simple blink, which used to be no problem years ago, it's a nuisance now. And with the technology in our substations and the relays and the breakers and the speed of those, we're trying to minimize those nuisance outages. And part of it is the underground, having residential customers underground. And we've had a number of areas that have been underground for years, and we're running into the infrastructure, the aging infrastructure, with what a lot of utilities are doing. And one of the big differences I feel for a municipal utility as opposed to an investor owned, our investors are the customers of Wilmer. We have a lot of money budgeted to replace those aging infrastructures, and that ties to our reliability as well.
Public power to our community means that we're local, we're here, we're responsive in a timely manner, and that they know that no matter what their question may be, whether it is why their power went out, what we can do to help them save energy, how they can manage their energy costs, that they know that we're here to help them.
I'd say thank you. Forgot to introduce you, Mike Kubish, when we came up, our marketing person that gets this out to us. And I know on the national as well as on the state level, we're doing a lot more to talk about public power, because public power, municipals have just been, that the lights come on without thinking kind of about the reliability. So that is a focus on both the national and the state level regarding the reliability. And then just a little side comment on the fact that where John mentioned about volunteers, I was at the neighborhood night out the other last week. So last week, I guess, on Tuesday night, our utility and the staff was there passing out goodies to the kids, as well as them giving them rides up and to look over the way up high in the bucket truck there, and that was greatly appreciated by the people that were there. That was pretty cool. So again, the volunteers that our staff does do. Thank you very much. And this time I will introduce you. I'm marketing representative Mary Kosh, I always stumble.
Just call me Mary Kay.
Oh, okay, Mary Kay, thank you very much.
Madam Chair, if I could ask Mary to touch a little bit on the marketing materials that we do receive from Missouri River in addition to the video that they put together. Mary relies on them for a lot of stuff. So Mary, if you'd be so kind, maybe just talk a little bit about
the There's a couple pieces we have worked with them so far. We worked with, they helped us pull together, you've probably all seen it, that statistic sheet. It was presented when we were with
a power supply breakdown.
Yes, power supply breakdown. Thank you. Additionally, they're helping or assisting with some pamphlets that will go along with our energy services regarding our rebates and regarding our programs that we run to assist with the promotion of those and get those underway. I worked with Missouri River a little bit with a new, basically a newcomer's brochure for those that are on the load management program. Some people weren't aware when we did the first air conditioning control. They said, well, I just bought this house 2 months ago, or I just bought it 2 years ago, and now suddenly my air conditioning's not working. Well, they had no idea that they had this device on the side of their room. So in conjunction with Missouri River, they did some proofing for me and some detail highlights, but helped put that together. With regard to public power, they have tons and tons of pamphlets that will get out to promote it, especially during public power week. But, and stuff for the internet that I have posted from time to time on both Facebook and on the internet.
Thank you, Mary.
All right, we had our open house on August 2nd. It was well attended. We served about 1,023 people. In the past, we've done a couple different changes. This year was the first year that we actually went through validating active customers and additionally providing them with a meal ticket and a trinket ticket. By doing so, we were able to cut our meal preparation count down from about 1,500 to 1,200. And again, we served a total of about 1,023. That's an approximate number. We felt that the registration went very, very well. I was out there for some of the beginning of the time, and I floated back and forth. I only had one complaint from a gentleman making the comment that you act like you don't trust us. And my comment back was, no, we're trying to save you money because we have an approximate amount of people that aren't customers of ours and come through. So the gals up front, the CSRs, thought it was very positive, ran better than they had anticipated. Lois actually heard a compliment when someone said regarding his money, he was happy that we were going through these measures to make sure they were active customers. If we continue this, we're going to do some refining if we choose to do this again in the future. The other comment that we heard was that, let's go back to registration. There was, speaking with Lois, she said she only had to turn in about half a dozen people. We anticipated more than that. So she said she only had to really turn away half a dozen. We had decided that this year, if we were going to stress to the people if we weren't able to find them in the computer system, that this was a customer-only event, and if they balked about it, we were going to let them go through with the meal, but not the trinket, since it's our first year of running this customer-only event. We had a lot of positive comments, too, about the timeliness of it being earlier in the year. I'm not sure why that affected people one way or the other. We did have more room with the boards being out. Usually we're fighting with the hockey arena and the hockey association with the boards still being up. This year we had plenty of space in there with the boards down. We had about 28 customers that registered for online bill pay with the paperless billing, and they received the $25 energy credit. As you can see on your notes here, we gave away the beanbag board, and we gave away 9 of the $50 utility credits to the customers. They were notified either by letter or by a phone call. And I think that's all I have. We do have leftover giveaways, so I know there's some commissioners that went there. Sean, I don't think you were there either. If you want to stop by, you can pick up a bag and a utility scissors for the giveaways. So that's all that I have.
Thank you. Any comments from commissioners that were there since I wasn't there? Did you get any questions or anybody threatened or anything else? They gave you accommodations for running the commission or anything? Well, that's always good to hear that people are pretty satisfied then. I take that.
I think the common table was well received when I was there, so had some comments, but I was first one up, and when my half hour was up, everybody was still eating. Nobody had really come through and asked questions, so.
Well, at least I think that's a good, I believe it's good, even if there's, you know, not active all the time. I think it's a good thing, again, for showing that we're out there. We care about our customers and what's being done for them. Okay. Nothing. Thank you very much, and thank you to the staff for all the work that they did pulling that together and being there. That's you're to be commended for doing that work. Okay, then let's go on to the wind turbine report, and we'll have engineer Mr. Smith discuss that with us.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The July wind turbine report is kind of bittersweet. It's sweet because I like being on the water in July, and there's not a whole lot of wind. It's not that great if you're looking for wind production. The month of July is typically pretty low, at least here in Minnesota. So we had a total output of 330,556 kilowatt hours for the month of July. Availability at 95.2% for number three and 98.2% for number four. Common maintenance items throughout the month, and things are running quite well. Any questions?
I like the last comment. They're running well. That's always good. That's always good. Any other comments from anyone? Again, thank you very much for the report, and we'll look for that to continue. And the next part is the Pollymakers Council meeting that I was to. Autumn Washington also serves as a chance for us to talk to our representative out there, and I've shared at the table with each of you just the six items that were of priorities at this regarding the policy with the APPA. And our key messages in that regard, again, is support the bond-funded electric system investments. And part of that, when we talked with the congressman, well, we talked with AIDS, we never got to talk to any of our congressmen, is the bond, the refunding component, and how important that would be if we could get that back. And then protecting the federal ownership of the PMEs and the TVA, that has to do with WAPA, and explaining that in detail to some of the aides that we discussed why that's important, because it's the customers that have paid for WAPA to be built out there, and it's a federally owned, but it's the consumer, the organizations that have paid for it. And then, as you can see, the fixed regional transmission organizations, again, has to do with the wholesale electricity markets, how those are being determined, and that it's a fair rate that is being encouraged with that. By fixing those rates, what gets fixed and what doesn't. And the partnerships for a secure grid, that's always a hot topic, is what's the cybersecurity for the grids. And public pole attachments are best regulated at the local level. There's quite a bit of discussion that started out, you know, first they came to the public utilities and worked with them, and then in some areas the utilities have per se gouged the wireless companies for putting up their poles and that type of thing, and they said we got to do something else, and the FCC controls the pole attachments. They don't control the utilities, and they're trying to get the FCC, the wireless companies, get the FCC to exert a little bit more control and make it you know, like a federal one-size-fits-all, and so we shared with our representatives, no, that's not, you know, to the best interest of anyone is to have it under local control, and that we do need to recoup our costs when those poles are put up. Not the poles, but the attachments, and that they have to change the poles. So most everyone understood that. I know that Senator Thune from South Dakota, I believe he's from, is kind of leaning that to the comment that where utilities are hindering broadband expansion, and that's not the case at all. It has to do with the poles, not the broadband. And where they're asking for the pole attachments going to the 5G, which is going to be more so in the large cities. I mean, we're just working to get the broadband out to the rural areas in Minnesota and that type of thing. So there was a lot of discussion on that as we met with the different aides. And then the other key message was support common sense reform and environmental regulations. Don't have EPA getting carried away like with the Clean Air Power Plan and those types of things. And there's always changes, of course, with that, like now with the EPA director that's has resigned from his position or been relieved from his position. Out there, I attended, went to all the different congressmen's office with the Missouri River folks. They went along to most all except one congressman's office to talk to them and to discuss with the aides, and then we did a follow-up with them because some of the aides that met with us weren't the ones, like I know that in Representative Peterson's office, Zach Martin's always been the one that has been met with us and is very knowledgeable about our industry, and he was not able to be there that day, so we had a different young man, but again, passed that information on. If I was to say on a whole, I would say that 95% of all the congressmen do support what we're asking for on the municipal power side. Again, it's always that being in front of them and not letting someone else run their lives. And I just want to add that for all the things that I provided on that list, there was a lot of briefs that have been written by Public Power, and if anybody's interested in reading in detail a little bit more, I will share with you, make a copy of whatever you would like, so you can see where the details of what they're asking for on the national level. So again, I thank you, appreciate being able to be a part of that. It is important that from the local we go out there and see them. Any questions from anyone? Okay, then we will move on to our general manager's report.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a reminder, first item is a reminder of our meeting. Our next meeting, we will be starting at 3 instead of at 11:45. We'll start with a tour of our facilities that are part of our budget discussions that will be coming up, as well as any equipment replacement, things of that nature that we have. So if there's anything in particular, please let us know that you'd like to have included, and if we don't have it, we will add it. And the meeting will follow directly after the tour. And we also noted in under the general manager's report, we have Commissioner Magnuson, Commissioner McDonald's terms will be up this year, so usually in September here, the city will be pushing out notice for applicants to submit for consideration for reappointment. So Commissioner Magnuson, McDonald's should be receiving a notice of their term expiring. And we had a planning committee meeting coming up on August 23rd to start discussion on 2019 budget. From a staff level, we'll pretty much have everything compiled and be ready for starting those discussions. So that would conclude my report, unless there's additional questions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Herring. As you can see, the future dates that are coming up at the summer conference, and those are able to attend. Again, you know, I always encourage that if you can take off any time to go to that. Is there anything else to come before the commission today? Any comments, questions? one more time. Anything to come before the commission today? Hearing none, I adjourn this meeting.